The Lessons Learned for Vets podcast is proud to be brought to you by AFMA, the American Armed Forces Mutual Aid Association. Established in 1879, they are the longest standing nonprofit association empowering military families with affordable financial solutions for generations, offering life insurance, wealth management, mortgages, survivor assistance, and other benefits. AFMA is here to support you through every stage of life. AFMA is dedicated to helping service members be financially and logistically ready for life after the military. To support you in this process, AFMA would like to offer you their free downloadable transition timeline, a step-by-step guide to help you create a comprehensive military transition plan. Let AFMA help you get ready for your next step by visiting AFMA.com/LL4V, that's AAFMAA.com/LL4V, or clicking the link in the show notes. Welcome to the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast, your military transition debrief from the veteran mentors who've gone before you. My name is Lori Norris, and I've been teaching veterans how to successfully navigate their military transition since 2005. I'm a civilian who speaks the language of all branches of the U.S. military, and I'm on a mission to educate veterans in the job search marketing process. This podcast shares the military transition hot washes and after-action reports of your fellow veterans to smooth your own path out of the military. Well, on today's episode of the Lessons Learned from Vets podcast, I'm excited to welcome Clarissa Merced. Clarissa retired from the United States Air Force in October of 2022 as a Senior Master Sergeant. She went right from active duty service to a skill bridge role with the Veteran Benefits Administration, and then into a full-time role with the VBA, where she worked for 2.5 years. Clarissa admits that she didn't put much effort, which I'm sure she'll tell us about, into her job search, and she found herself uninspired and underpaid, kind of the perfect example of underemployment. When she took the time to really think about what was important to her, took the time to translate her military skills and put some serious effort into marketing herself, she received an offer for a new role that exceeded her previous salary by more than $30,000 a year. So can't wait to hear how that all went down. Clarissa, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So let's just jump right into it. I covered it really briefly in the intro, but just tell me a little bit more about your military transition and just how that whole process went for you.
For me, I think I took it for granted because everybody's like, oh, you'll know when you want to retire and it's going to be the best feeling. You'll know it. It'll just be so seamless. So you procrastinate and you put things on the back burner. I did not have much worry because I was like, whatever, I'll do a skill bridge. I did not prepare at all like some of my peers or some people exiting. I just transitioned out with a skill bridge and truly no plan, like a plan to work because I had a skill bridge. So I'm transitioning into a job and I didn't give it a lot of thought. I was grateful that I was accepted into the skill bridge and I knew that I would walk into a job when the skill bridge was over. So everything else was like, nah, it'll happen. Been in the military 24 years. It's all going good.
Okay. And so if you look at it on the surface, that sounds like a pretty easy, smooth transition, right? You went right from service into a job.
It did for me. Because again, and maybe I should be ashamed to say it, but it's like, okay, I know that I'm marketable. I have 24 years experience in the military. I have a plethora of degrees. I have a plethora of military education. So I'm not worried about it. Like, I'm going to transition into this job and it's going to be easy. The VBA, it's a government agency. I'm transferring to a government job. I'm leaving the government job. What more can one ask for until one retires? And, you know, you have to actually live it. And it's like, okay, well, this isn't really what I thought it would be. The hardest thing for me was working from home. Yes, I transitioned into a job, but working from home for me was difficult. Everybody's like, oh, my God, you're going to love it. You're going to be retired. You can just live your life and you'll be fine. And that's what I believed until, yeah, I do the skill bridge. I transition. I took no time off. I transitioned into a job. and it becomes, whoa, this is not what I'm used to because it's not what I did in the military. This may not be for me. So within months of me transitioning, I start to feel like, I probably should have did a career assessment or something. Prior to, you know, I should have better prepared myself. And I pondered with that for quite some time, like, what could I have done? What should I have done? And it leads to, you should have better prepared yourself before exiting. Seeking assistance with getting a resume, just being a little bit more cautious versus, I have a job, I'm going to be good. Skill bridge into a position, and I'm going to be good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it worked out well and you weren't, you know, didn't find yourself unemployed. But, you know, like we talked about it a little bit, like the VBA, it's a great place to work. I know a lot of people that have been very successful there and are very happy there. Working for the federal government works great for some people. As you said, you know, I think we're going to talk about your husband. He works for the federal government and loves it. But how did you feel that it matched up with what you really wanted to do? Once you slowed down and really thought about, like, what's going to make me happy? Like, what were the things that worked and didn't work for you?
Yeah, I have to go with you on that. The VBA was a good transition spot for me. However, the demands that the job carried, it was not the position for me. Had I did a career assessment prior to, I would have known, like, okay, that's not the career path you want to take. You may want to go a little bit somewhere different. A little backstory, my husband is big time team government. I'm not big time. I don't necessarily have to work for the federal government. So I said, okay, well, I was doing ratings. We didn't mention that, but I did disability ratings when I first worked at the VA, and it's a very demanding job. After 24 years of being in the military, and being on demand, on call all the time, the VBA and that demand of what was required for doing ratings did not align with my personality type. It did not align with what I wanted in life or a second career. So I immediately started looking for another job. I transitioned in the VBA, which a lot of people do, to a human resources job, human resource management. They call them program specialists. Again, great job within the VBA. I just found that the government work environment is full of government employees who were previously military employees. So I was back in my situation. And when I retired, I wanted to change. And I say situation, but I was back in my comfort zone of the government, however, still not satisfied. So I had to find something that was going to be satisfying to me, where I would interact with people, where I would actually enjoy what I was doing. And that's when I reached out to you and I'm like, help me, Lori.
So, you know, you bring up a really good point, is that you hadn't really taken the time to think about, like, what kind of environment was best for you, what kind of leadership style was best for you, what kind of work do it, you know, what kind of work activity was best for you. And I think it sort of feels unnatural for service members, because nobody really asked you in the military. They didn't say, Clarissa, what's going to make you happy in the Air Force?
No.
They just said, we got a slot. We got to fill this billet. Here you go. Right. And so.
Demand for the military first. Yeah, always demand for the military.
Absolutely. And so, you know, you get voluntold, you go do what, you know, sometimes you get to choose, but not often. And, you know, you get retrained, you know, taken out of your career field, and you just go with it because that's what you signed on for. And one of the best parts, I think, and sometimes the most difficult and scariest part, is like, oh, I get to pick.
Yes.
I get to choose what I want to do. And then it comes, it can either be exciting or it can be like, oh, this is overwhelming, like a Vegas buffet, right? But
yeah.
So I think it is something that you got to take that time, because you might find yourself in a place where you're just not satisfied, right?
Exactly. And that's exactly what it was for me. And again, you know, we get ready to retire and nobody asks you, oh, what do you like to do? Let's just take some time, take a couple of weeks and do a career assessment and see exactly what you want to do. After 20 some odd years, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know. I know what the military has told me to do, and I done what I was told to do. So yeah, it was definitely time for a change. I started preparing for my change by just looking at jobs, seeing if I needed to further my education, if I needed to get any more certifications, like what do I need to do to make me more marketable, to be in a position where I actually have a job that I enjoy waking up doing, and it fits with my personality type. It's like you said before, leadership style, supervision, coworker interaction is a big part of what makes your day a good day. We spend more time with our coworkers than we do with our loved ones, more awake time, you know, so that was a significant thing for me. The only way to make it better was to change my approach. So I started looking for jobs, started seeing, I'm like, well, I well qualified for some of these jobs. I'm just, this resume that I wrote is not resuming, so to speak.
Not quite working for you. All right.
Not so quite working.
Now, I know you've only been in your new role a couple of months, but you love it, which is a beautiful thing when you love your job. When you, so you've worked for the federal government, you worked for the private sector, and just for anybody listening, like, what would you say are the biggest differences in the two working environments? And we can go, you know, like positives and negatives of both. I just want people to kind of just make informed decisions as they're deciding, do I want to go work for the federal government or the private sector? And just know that your experience will be different than Clarissa's. Like she said, her husband loves his job in the federal government. But just, I want people to hear from you some of the biggest differences.
Some of the biggest differences. In the private sector, I feel like the carrot is there. The care is there for me. Mm-hmm. I am heard. Versus in the federal government, when I was working in the federal government for the VA as well as the military, I did not feel heard. I did not feel as if my opinion mattered. I retired and seen that started. So at some point, yes, someone hears a little bit of what I'm saying and you're taking it into consideration. Whereas in the private sector, when you speak and you speak with fact and backing, you're actually heard. And you explain yourself, and it progresses, it moves forward, and you feel valued as an employee. So for me, the biggest thing is feeling valued and feeling as if I am actually being compensated for my time the way I feel like I should be and deserve to be given my experience, my education, and my background. So in the federal government, there's a ranking system. There is a GS pay grade system, and you get promoted when your time comes. Like it's like the military, it's a promotion when your time comes. So mm-hmm. Honestly, like you mentioned in the intro, I started this job and I'm making slightly over 30K a year, more than what I was making in the federal government. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Some people don't make 30K a year. So to make that much more was a great blessing for me. And then I feel valued as an employee because I'm heard and I'm compensated. So what more can one ask for when trying to transition and find their happy space outside of the military?
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like, you know, if you're looking for an environment that is similar in nature and structure, in the process of moving forward in your career, then the federal government is probably a great place if that's what you're most comfortable with. And so in the private sector, it is not as, for lack of a better word, stable, because we don't know what the next, you know, I think you and I talked a little bit about this, right?
Yes.
So you're working for a federal contractor, right? And so, you know, that contract will eventually go away, possibly, but it's years probably in the future. Yes. And now you've got years of experience in the private sector to put on that resume. So I think, you know, you've got to weigh everything out and see like what works best for you. Where do you feel most comfortable? And there's nothing wrong with either place, the federal government or the private sector. It's just that they're different. And yeah. You've got to make the right decision for yourself, right?
Yes. Now I will say the negative of the private sector is what you just mentioned, right? I worked for a contract company. So when this contract ends and whatever duration it ends, a year, 2 years, my contract is until 2025, and I don't mind sharing that at all. Well, the company seems to be a great company, and they will potentially try to place me in another position that I qualify for. However, if they don't, now I'm without a job. I find the good in everything. And for me, the good in everything with this is I will have that much more experience in my new position, in my new job. I will have, that much more interaction with people. And I can say at that time, okay, I did that for two, almost 3 years. Is this what I really want to continue doing? So far, so good. I love it. I love the transition. I love what it is for me, but it's only been two, maybe 3 months. Will that change? I don't know, but it's worth me taking the risk of possibly having to find employment again in another, couple years.
Right, because you're loving what you're doing, and
Because
that's
I'm
so.
happy. Yeah, I am. I'm happy and I love what I do.
And that probably, obviously, is a decision that financially, you've got to look at your household income, your retirement, your disability pay, like all of those things have to come into play, in making that decision, right? And it doesn't necessarily work well for everyone to take a risk. It's like investing, right? And I was with my mom, who's in her 80s, and we were meeting with her investment guy, and he's like, "At your age, I think, safer is better." And so it's the same thing, right? It's like you've got to look at your portfolio of what's going on with you, and now you feel like financially you can take that risk, if you will. It's not a huge risk, but it is, a little bit more uncertain than the federal government. Well, I mean, the federal government could, stop paying their bills, but there is that. But so, okay. So we talked about this earlier, right? Like, you didn't really take that time to assess who you are, what type of role works best for you. Like, tell me more about, what you wish you had done to prepare and just get to know yourself better. Let's talk about that.
Honestly, I wish, I did the skill bridge and that was good, but I wish that I had detached and maybe taken some time off before the skill bridge, or even after the skill bridge, because you have 90 days after a skill bridge to accept the position. I jumped into it. If I were to do things differently, I would pause and take a breath. I would do a career assessment of some sort, a career assessment analysis, a personality assessment, whatever. Each individual is different. But for me, I feel like I should have taken some time and actually did a career assessment and honestly thought about what I like to do, how I like to interact with people. And that would have made a big difference in how I moved, right? I didn't, I don't need it. I don't need anything because I have all of this wonderful military experience. I prepared myself throughout my military career by getting the degrees, by going to the training. In hindsight, I prepared myself for military success, not for life after the military. So when I was getting my degrees and getting my certifications, it was so that I can be successful in the military. I should have taken that approach prior to leaving the military to be successful for my second career, and I didn't. So I can honestly, I don't feel set back. I feel like every experience I had was a good experience and something learned. However, I would have been in a much better position, and I would not have experienced that time frame of frustration. Like, I don't really like this job. I don't know what I want to do. I'm frustrated. I'm not happy. I know that I am worth more. I know that me being valued as an employee is possible, and I definitely felt like I should be getting paid more. So, to prevent that, I would advise anybody, if nothing else, do a career assessment. And when you do that career assessment, do it with a clear mind and not with your military, not with taking care of the airmen, not with making sure my commander is good because I'm his right-hand man. Just take a week off. And in that week, clear your mind. And then the next week, take a career assessment.
Yeah. And I think that, like, I'll just give you some of my favorite resources. I like, there's two books that I like. One is called Do What You Are, which is based on the Myers-Briggs personality typing. And the other one is called Now Discover Your Strengths. Those are two books that I like. And then, you know, 16personalities.com is a great free Myers-Briggs assessment that you can take online. And just, you know, like assessments and books, they're not going to open up the world and, you know, give you all the answers, but they're a tool that you can use. And, you know, what I really like about what you said is you said, well, I learned something from everywhere I've been, whether it was the military, whether it was the VBA, your current role. And I think I want you to hear that really clearly for those of you that are listening, is that no decision is final, right? You can change. You can go somewhere different. You can get the experience and gain value from each position that you take, and then you can pivot and go a different direction. And so, again, that's, you know, talk about what's next. You know, I had Misty Moreno on, and she talked about just plan your life in 1 year increments, right? Because things can change so fast. And I love that advice because it's like, you know, I've been having this conversation with my 22-year-old daughter who's about to start her first real job. And she's like, I just don't know if this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I'm like, well, that's good, because very few people stay in the same job for their entire life. And, you know, so just like learn everything you can. Do these things, you know, to kind of set yourself up for your future, and then we'll see where it goes. And so I think that everybody should have that advice. And just as you look at each experience, like, what can I pull out of this that's valuable?
Exactly.
And how, what I learned from it. And even you learned what you didn't want to do and what didn't work for you. So
exactly.
And that's great. That's a great attitude to have toward every experience that you have. And just, you know, it's learning. It's so we grow and learn. We don't necessarily fail, right? So
exactly.
As a way of not failing is making sure you're learning everywhere. So excellent. Okay. So now you mentioned it earlier. You were working remotely for the VBA, right?
So I was working remotely for the VBA. However, I would go into the office 4 days a month.
Okay.
So not completely remote. Telework
mostly,
yeah. Mostly remote,
mm-hmm.
And that was another thing with during my transition. It was like, I am a people person, I need people in my life, I need to see, interact, talk with people. I'm gonna walk down the hall, I'm gonna go sit in my commander's office and say, hey, boss, what's on the schedule for today? We're gonna have that interaction. When you're in the military, and you I'm not going to say you tell yourself it's hell, but you do. You tell yourself it's hell and you say, I would love to just roll out my bed and turn on a computer and I'm at work. It's not quite that way. It's not quite that way. There's pros and cons to remote working. I never thought I would be a big fan of a fully remote position, but now I cannot imagine my life any other way. You have to be very responsible in getting your job done, of course, and then the attention to detail is necessary, and the availability, and you're on it. But I love this. I love it. I absolutely love this position. I enjoy the remote work. Sometimes I throw a double test because my adult daughter that lives home, God bless her, I love her. Her and my husband, they're like, okay, mommy's home. And I don't know if it's me feeling expectations of mommy's home, or if they have like additional expectations of mommy's home, somebody's going to sign for my delivery.
Yeah. It is easier to get interrupted when you work from home, isn't it?
It is. So you have to be focused. I'll sometimes close my doors. Even if I'm here by myself, I'll just close my doors, because if I see a bird fly by, I'm like, oh, bird. So.
All right. So you worked remotely for the VBA mostly. You're working remotely for your current role. So we've talked a little bit about like the positives and the negatives of working remotely. And I does sound like, oh, it's a dream. I get to work in my pajamas and I get to, you know, wear slippers on my feet instead of shoes. And I get to wear my Care Bear t-shirt to record a podcast, right? That's okay. I got comfy pants on the bottom, you know, sweater on the top. So, but there are some negatives, right? If you're very much a people person, you know, you've got to find ways to get that interaction and also feeling connected to your team.
Yeah.
You know, the work environment, you need to make sure they're used to hosting teams, you know, virtually. And I think, you know, we're all more used to building those connections on a video screen. But it's definitely important to know what works best for you. And I feel like that's part of your assessment is just knowing, like, how much do I want to be involved with people? Like, I'll realize, like, I haven't even left the house, you know, other than to take my dogs out to go to the bathroom for days, you know. And it's a good and a bad thing about working remotely. So there are some positives and negatives. Anything else you can think of?
Positive, like, when I joke about my daughter and my husband. So it is good to be able to have that work-life balance. I'm here if someone is going to deliver something or if my family needs me. I have grandkids. If my daughter has an emergency and she's like, oh, I need you to get the baby from daycare, then that's a positive because I can grab my computer, let my boss know, like, hey, I have to step away real quick, but I'm just getting my granddaughter. I'll be back home. And those things are good. The negatives is, like, sometimes you are too often interrupted and you have to remind friends and family, like, hey, just because I'm home, it doesn't mean I'm not working. Like, I have a job and I like my job. So I want to stay on top of my job and my task.
Yep.
Don't call me between this time and this time, or I'll just put everything on do not disturb, because I know I can feel it brewing when somebody's going to call. So I'm like, all right, do not disturb. And, you know, you just have to have that discipline and that focus to let me, this is what pays the bills and I love it. I don't want it to go anywhere. And I'm going to take care of what I can take care of that's not going to negatively impact me in my workspace. I was talking with a coworker earlier and we were just talking, you know, like, oh, sometimes it's different when you work from home. And she said, honestly, I think if I was in the office, I'd spend more time sitting in my coworker's office. Like, we're having a coffee break, or now I'm going to a bathroom break and I got distracted, so I'm going to stop and talk with whoever I see in the hallway. We don't have that interaction. So my interaction like that is with the UPS driver or the guy that cuts my lawn or the Amazon guy.
Yep.
So that was the negative, like the hard adjustment of, yes, I am here, but I am not here. And I can't take on a full day of work and a full day of life. I can balance the two, you know, but just getting friends and family to understand, like, hey, enough's enough. This is work.
Yeah, you got to set those boundaries with the people around you, but also with yourself as well.
Yeah.
So as I sit here remembering that I put a load of laundry in before I came in here to talk to you, I'm like, oh, I can't forget that. So we're amazing multitaskers, but maybe shouldn't always be, right?
Correct.
So, okay. But I think it's good to think about it because it sounds like the dream, right? Like, I've got my kids and my dog and my cat and my, you know, I can wear my pajama bottoms and all of that. So it depends on who you are as a person, as a, you know, are you self-motivated? Are you somebody that needs more interaction in terms, you know, face-to-face people interaction? So really, I think that's part of what you should think about as you're starting to look.
And I will say, like, I'm gonna, like, people might think I have stock investment in this job, but you know, we haven't mentioned their name. They're a great company, and we do have coworker interaction weekly. We do office events online. Like, it's there. It's there and it's happening. When I was teleworking for the federal government, there was not as much engagement. There was not as much, you know, like, hey, let's just have an office chat as if I'm stopping in your office. It was meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting, and okay, task after task. Whereas now, work-life balance is there. It's where it needed to be.
You do some team building and get together and things like that. So that's important. Okay, you know, so I think, like I said, there are good and bad to every situation, and you know, I think that there are still going to be some organizations that keep working remotely, some are doing more hybrid. And so, you know, just keep your options open as you're looking for a job as well. And yeah. I think you're going to need to travel at times and, you know, then you'll be able to interact more with people for your new job. Is that right?
Yes, with my new job, we have a travel schedule where we're going out and we're doing some training and traveling. And that's where I get my people in action. And one of the things, like I mentioned before, I feared that I would miss talking to my airmen and my commander and my military family, because that's been my family for the last 24 years. But with this new position, like, okay, I'm traveling and I'm actually going to military installations. So I'm back at home and it gives me that, you know, that warm hug and that pat on the back that this is all familiar, it's good, it's comfortable, the balance is there. Had I did a career assessment prior to, maybe I would have, you know, things would have worked out different and I would have always felt this, but
yeah. Excellent. Okay. Well, let's talk about how you marketed yourself right after the military, kind of into your SkillBridge role. What was the difference in, the biggest difference in how you marketed yourself for your first job versus this job, this new role that you landed? What was the biggest difference for you?
The biggest difference is my marketing for my SkillBridge. Again, it just transitioned with, this is what I have and you want it. Maybe not everything I want from what I have. It didn't satisfy, my cup wasn't full, right? So in rethinking, like, okay, how am I going to do this? And then what's going to happen? A friend of mine had her resume drafted. And when I talked to her, she said, invest in you. The same way you invested in yourself for the military and you did, you didn't have to do all of those trainings that you did, but you did them because it made you more marketable. You left your kids because it made you more marketable. You got your degree because you felt like it made you more marketable. And I did not know the private sector, but that's what, same approach, invest in yourself, pay for the resume services, pay for the, someone, I think that my husband explained it to me very well. We paid the cable guy to come and lay the cable wires, right? Yeah, I can YouTube it. I can YouTube, they actually, yeah, there's a YouTube video on what I can do to unbury the wires and move it. That is that guy's job. He knows that's his profession. He knows his profession. My husband is air traffic controller. I can look online and figure out how to become an air traffic controller, but nobody wants me in an air traffic tower. Nobody wants me in that tower cab doing that. So I looked online and I'm like, I can do this resume. Oh, perfect. Obviously not perfect because I will share some numbers with you that I don't think I've ever shared before. I applied for 164 government jobs. 164 government jobs. Out of the 164 jobs I applied for, my resume was referred on to 48 hiring managers. Out of those 48 hiring managers, one of them called me back. It was the resume.
Yeah.
It was how I marketed myself. I have the meat and potatoes. I just don't know how to cook it. So
that's a great way of putting it.
I did. I had it. I had the meat and potatoes. I had the full meal. I just did not know how to prepare it. So it's like getting the HelloFresh kit and not being able to read the ingredients and put it together. Right. So I had to switch my way of me marketing me to go to come to you and say, hey, Lori, I need your help. This is me investing in me. Like you said, the investment guy told your mom, oh, small investment. I feel like this was a large investment for my life. And the cost of the investment was very minuscule compared to the way that I feel when I wake up in the morning, the way that I feel about my job. And I'll be honest, even my family relationships, because when I'm going to work and I'm not completely happy, it affects my family relationship. It affects my interactions with my husband, with my kids. So I had to change that and reaching out and getting some assistance in how to market myself and how the resume should be written and just talking to you. You told me some very impactful things in our conversation. That maybe in time it was just you like, hey, I'm just telling you this, maybe think about this. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? But it hit home and it made me think of like, okay, reapproach. from a different aspect, from a different angle, and see what it brings you. And so here I am, investing in yourself.
Okay. And, you know, I think that, you know, there are free resources out there. And we've had this conversation before. Should you pay for a resume? Should you, you know, get the free resource? And my answer is it's up to you, right? Everybody's different. And you just got to make an informed decision. Don't let anybody shame you into making a decision that worked for them that doesn't work for you. Like you said, there is nothing wrong with investing in yourself. And, one of the things, like, I don't talk about my resume services a lot on this show, but one of the values, I think, working with somebody externally is that they will help you see things that you take for granted, right?
Correct.
If I ask you, like, how did you make an impact? And you're like, well, I just did this and this. And I'm like, wait a minute, let's get that just out of there and let's talk about the this and this and what that meant and how it added value and what was the impact. And it's really, that's really one of the biggest values is, number one, it helps you see things in a new way because we take those things for granted for ourselves. And it also is, it helps you start to talk about your military experience in a different way. Because if you spit military at me, I'm going to spit back civilian at you.
Exactly.
And so I'm teaching you like real time how to speak a new language. And I think those are like what I see are two of the biggest values of working with somebody that is professional with what they do and that understands the military, you know, the military transition and translation process. So
100% agree. And you, my conversations with you, my conversations with others, it led me to see, oh, well, you actually did this, or you actually have this skill. My mom and dad, I love my parents to death, but my mom would always tell me, oh, you're so spoiled because you were raised like the military career. And I'm like, Mom, you don't know. Like you have no clue, Mom. But she gave me a different way to see myself, to see things. And parenting never ends. So the parenting part of, well, what'd you do? I'm thinking, I don't have to do anything to market needs. See all these degrees and plaques on my wall? And it's like, okay, well, make it work. Like, stop talking about it and do it.
Yeah.
Make yourself happy. And here I am.
Yay. I love that smile. I love to hear how happy you are. I'm so glad it worked out well and that this process was very positive for you. Thanks for coming on and sharing the story. And I hear your boss is a pretty cool dude, too. So tell him
yes.
I said hello. So I really appreciate you coming on. And I can't wait to hear just more updates from you on how it's going.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast. If you learned just one lesson today that you believe can help you in your military transition, then I've done my job. Please don't keep this podcast a secret. Share it with as many of your active duty service member friends and transitioning veterans who may be struggling with that process as possible. Please subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review, and join our YouTube channel so you don't miss any lessons that we share.